2FM. Game On's Fantasy Football.
Hello, and you're very welcome to the Game On Fantasy Football podcast. This is Game Week 37.
Hold on, I'm back. I'm supposed to present the program, or the pod, whatever the bloody hell it is.
Yeah. Paul, what do you think? We let him in?
When do I get to talk?
Yes. He's back.
It is Game Week 37, and it is me, Andrew O'Connor, back again for the season finales. Only two game weeks left. Can't believe we've come this far. So close, but no cigar quite yet. I'm glad to say, joined, as always, by Phil McGrath. So I want to say Phil Caffrey and Paul McGrath. Hey. Anyway, Paul Caffrey and Phil McGrath, and you're very welcome along to the pod for Game Week 37. Paul, you all right?
Yeah, great. Yeah, welcome back.
Thanks very much. Yeah, it was a difficult task you set me, but Alan Pardew, he's back and ready for pitch side action, and Jose has the lads in hand. What can I say? Job done. Right, before we get on with Game Week 37, quick look back with Game Week 36. Every one of us did quite well. I think Phil did best on 70. Paul, I think 69 for Paul.
I think
I took a 4-point hit and went for 66.
Good
show. Phil gambled heavily, 8-point hit, and it worked out for you.
Yeah, well, I brought in Harry Kane, didn't quite do the job, but that was more of a, you know, last couple of game week things. It wasn't just particularly for last week, so I'll be hoping for something from him over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's good value, Harry Kane, and we'll be talking a lot more about the next couple of game weeks just in a second. But as I said, let's have a very quick look back at game week 36, and starting with Southampton beating Everton 2-0. Maybe a foot off the pedal for Everton there.
Yeah, 2 own goals, a little bit unlucky, you would say.
The assist from Klein and Lambert for Southampton. Fulham 2, Hull City 2, a battling draw, but 2 points lost for Fulham. They can't afford any of those.
No.
So, the goals from Morbieta and Jiga, and for Hull City, Jelovic and Long yet again combining on the score sheet there. Stoke went down 1-0 to Spurs. Rose with the goal for Spurs, Adebayor with the assist, and it was a 4-1 win for Swansea over Aston Villa, having a bad end to the season, and let's hope it doesn't prove disastrous for them. Hernandez, Shelvey, and 2 from Boney for Swansea. Agbonla Horgan on the score sheet for Villa. West Brom 1, West Ham 0, and bad reaction to that result from West Ham fans. Barinho got the goal for West Brom. Man United 4-0 winners over Norwich, one of the headlines of the weekend, I suppose, the whole Giggs thing, and we'll be talking more about that. 2 from Mata, 2 for Rooney, and assists from Jones, Valencia, Kagawa, Welbeck. Will it be the start of a new era? Probably not. Sunderland 4-0 winners over Cardiff City. Jaccarini and Barini, and 2 from Connor Wickham gave them a very convincing 4-0 win over Cardiff, and much more importantly, a vital 3 points in that relegation tussle. Liverpool 0, Chelsea 2 was the biggest game of the game week, obviously for the Premier League title. Parking 2 buses, but it worked, and they get the 3 points. That's what matters for Chelsea. Willian and Ba with the goals, the all-important goals there. Man City 2-0 victors over Crystal Palace. Yaya Toure and Dzeko for Man City. Toure with an assist as well as Nasri. Arsenal 3-0 winners over Newcastle United in the end. Koscielny, Ozil and Giroud with the goals for Arsenal. Assist from Cazorla, Ozil and Giroud. Good points tally for anyone who's maintained an Arsenal player or two on their team. I don't think there's too many at this point amongst us three.
Around.
Yeah, no, amongst us three though. There's not many Arsenal players in any of our teams. Right, let us crack on then with Game Week 37. Yes, it is the penultimate game week.
That it is.
And what a game week it promises to be, because it is hasn't got our normal 10 games. It's got a few more.
Yeah, we've 6 teams playing twice this week. Which we like, and certainly with 2 game weeks left to go, it kind of gives managers a chance to try and plan it out a bit, claw some points back and make the most of the double. So I mean, normally at this point, for everyone who listens in, they normally know we'll do 3 focus games and we'll look at those in depth. But what we've decided to do with the amount of double fixtures, we're actually just going to break it down and look at the 6 teams playing twice, and then we'll kick into a best of the rest. So I suppose probably the best place to start is at Old Trafford. Yeah, you know, you kind of hit on it there earlier on, 4-0 against okay, it was a poor Norwich side, let's be honest about it. But, you know, United were poor first half, probably fortunate to get the penalty, but came out second half then and really gave it a good go. And looking at the double this week, they have two home fixtures. First game is against Sunderland and then the second game against Hull. So you kind of have to be looking at that. You'd fancy United to do well. There's a kind of a good vibe around the camp with gigs in place at the moment, along with the class of 92. And certainly for me, I think there's going to be good value all across the United team. I mean, I'd be looking at United for a clean sheet in at least one of these games, if not both. So, I mean, for me, David De Gea has to come in. And then probably Patrice Evra or Phil Jones. I'd like to get Jones in above Evra, but I'm not so sure that Jones will continue to start. So that's kind of something that worries me a little bit. I mean, Phil Jones had 40 touches in the final third, which is almost double the amount that Patrice Evra had in the last game week. And, you know, that to me kind of says he is pushing forward on the right-hand side. But again, I'm not so sure he's going to retain his place. So in the interest of playing it safe and with the double that's in it, I'd probably opt for Evra just to make sure I'm definitely going to get someone that's going to start both games.
Interesting. Paul, what way are you going to look at Man United for these two games? First, at home against Sunderland and the second at home against Hull City?
Yeah, well, I suppose there's a couple of ways of looking at it. The first is, although Giggs has been a great reception, the fans were really cheering from the weekend. Most impressive thing was, as Phil pointed out, that he got a reaction out of the players at half-time, and they came out and they worked, and got those goals, which has been refreshing. So there's two things which are really jumping out at me massively. The first is, I mean, the game against Sunderland is going to be very difficult. Sunderland are in great form at the moment, so it's going to be a proper test for Manchester United, because they're obviously fighting for their lives. And then obviously we've got the game against Hull City. Now, Hull City are getting ready for a cup final. However, Long and Jelovic can't take part in that final if they're cup tied. So the both of them are really flying on, flying and knocking the goals in as well. So that's going to be a tough test. And then, apart from that, the second thing which kind of concerns me is, obviously, we know Vidic has signed off and he's leaving at the end of the season, so you'd expect that he'll get a last hurrah. Rio Ferdinand himself, he has said he wants to play football another year. He doesn't know if it's going to be at United, he doesn't know who the manager's going to be, so it could potentially be the last time he plays a game at Old Trafford as well. So with a couple of these players, you kind of have the concerns that, well, they'll get thrown in just to kind of say goodbye to United, which is also something to watch out for when you're going for United defenders. I think Ever is probably the only one here you can kind of have faith in. Probably maybe one clean sheet out of two would be what you'd be going for, but I wouldn't be overly hopeful on that. Obviously, Rooney is the main man. He was centre of everything good last week. Matic came on with half an hour to go. Obviously, they pulled it was Welbeck off, but he did very, very well. And he's given Giggs a decision to make whether he actually starts Matic now this week, because his performance, it was well-deserved. And he was certainly getting in the position to score goals. So two of them is very interesting. Obviously, we're kind of hopeful that Yanovay would have been involved last week. He wasn't even on the subs bench, so question mark as to whether he might come in. But I mean, it's probably a little bit difficult to look past kind of Mata and Rooney. And very much, I'll have the two of them in my team.
And Paul, if I was to push you for a third player, would you go for a midfield player?
The third player I'd go for would be Evra. Because obviously they kind of, I think United kind of want him to stay for another year, so he will play the two games, and there is a chance of getting the clean sheet. I mean, looking at midfield, it is tough to pick out a midfielder who is definitely going to start and definitely going to play. You know, and it's not all the full complement of subs were used, and I would expect that this week. So that means they're probably going to be whoever player you pick, they're going to be a little bit limited, and it'll be interesting to see if he's using the squad. So I couldn't pin down a midfielder. Kagawa, I wouldn't mind having the punt on him, but again, it's a punt, so.
Yeah, I mean, Giggs came out after the game and kind of said that, you know, based on his team selection, it was really the tried and tested players that have been around the block a good while, that he kind of, with the occasion that was in it and a lot of emotion and everything that had gone on, he kind of wanted some old heads there to steady the ship, and it worked reasonably well. You're right, I think Mata has given him a decision to make. I think based on his performance, he has to play over the next three games that are left. So I'd be fancying him to do quite well. And the only spanner that kind of goes into the works is Van Persie is back in full training. Giggs confirmed that Van Persie did return to training ahead of this week. He's been missing since he picked up a knee injury during his hat-trick performance against Olympiacos in March. And Giggs' quote is saying, like, we'll just have to wait and see how he goes this week. week. He came back last Friday and he trained well. He just needs to work on his fitness now. So yeah, he looked great. I mean, if Van Persie comes back into the side, Mata's potential is going to certainly be decreased, you know, because we know that Mata's been playing in the number 10 role in behind kind of Rooney, and certainly with Van Persie coming back in there, that's going to put Mata possibly back out onto the right. I can't see him starting him in the centre.
I think a big thing like that, you saw that Moyes sacrificed the shape of the team to accommodate Mata and those players, whereas it looks like Giggs is very much playing wingers and probably won't do that as well. So
yeah, that is the worry, you know. There's been a lot of talk from Giggs about getting back to the United way, which has always been quick counter-attacking football with, you know, plenty of width and pace on the wings. So that does worry me that if Van Persie is back and he does start, that we're going to see Mata drop out. I think Giggs will opt to do that. We're going with the likes of Kagawa and Valencia on either wing, and then playing probably Cleverley and Carrick in the middle again with Van Persie and Rooney up top. So we'll have to kind of monitor that one closer to the weekend and see. I think certainly if Van Persie doesn't make it back, then Mata is a dead cert, I think, for a goal or two over the two games. However, haven't seen him come off the bench and grab two, you know, I'm going to hold on to him regardless, because if he can come off the bench and do that, then certainly there's always a chance you can get some points from him. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, and certainly we'd advise people to be checking the side on Friday when we get the manager's press conferences in and we know a little bit more.
So that's Man United. Should we move on to Sunderland?
Looking at the way they've been playing recently, they've really kind of turned it around, and I honestly didn't expect that to happen. I kind of was writing them off, as I think we all were.
Yeah.
Conor Wickham's addition to the squad has done wonders for them, really. I mean, Poyet came out a couple of weeks ago and said he wants Conor Wickham to be the saviour, and kind of really bigged them up. And quite often or not, that can backfire. You know, there's a lot of pressure. He's only a young lad. He had a big price tag going to Sunderland, as we've already spoke about in previous weeks. But he continues to do well. And really, for me, he's probably the only one of the Sunderland lineup I'd be having a look at. So
it's incredible when you look at that. I mean when that statement was made, everyone laughed about it. You got one goal in 34 games.
Yeah.
You know, in fairness, he was scoring when he was out on loan, which was well and good. But he looks a completely different player. I don't know if he's bulked up, if he's gotten stronger, fitter, what it is, or if it's just maturity. But he is absolutely worth an outside shout, and it'll be interesting to see how he gets on, because he's got a great chance to write himself into folklore, kind of like Kieran Richardson did for West Brom a few years ago. He kind of has that nearly arguably already with the performance he put in to give him even a fighting chance of staying up. So West Brom is the fixture, which is interesting. So obviously at home there, you would hope that if you invest in Wickham that he'll get something out of that game, and I suppose it'd be a bonus if he gets that at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I kind of looked at on the site recently, when especially looking at United's clean sheet potential. It was more the point that, yes, Sunderland make the trip to Old Trafford looking to get a result that's going to help them stay safe. But I think a victory over West Brom is probably where they've really targeted. And I just wonder, will they put their all into the game at Old Trafford, knowing that they've got to face Sunderland a few days later? Or face West Brom, should I say, a few days later. So I think we can really expect to see Sunderland come out at home and go for it against West Brom, whereas I think we might see, you know, we might see, not to even say a weakened side against United, but I just don't think they'll go hell for leather at it. I think they'll probably be targeting the West Brom game.
My fear as well is that United are absolutely going to go hell for leather against Sunderland, because it is Sunderland's performance at Old Trafford and that penalty shootout which prevented them getting to a Wembley final for the Capital One Cup. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how much that, what bad taste that left in the United players' mouths, and if they're actually going to go for Sunderland this week, if they needed something, anything else to play for as well, you know.
Are you going to bring in any Sunderland players, Phil?
I'm toying with the idea of bringing in Conor Wickham. And really, he's the only one for me that I think has any great value to add to my side. I think if you look elsewhere, there's better value this week, and certainly better potential from other players, be they double game week players or not. So I mean, really, Wickham at 4.7 is probably the only one I'm considering. I did say I had Harry Kane. It's kind of between Kane and Wickham, and Wickham does have the double. He's been scoring goals, so there's a good chance that switch may happen, even though I do fancy Kane to do quite well over the last couple of weeks of the season, including this week. So I'm undecided. That's something I'm going to have to think about. But
he's a player to bring in if you're going to get Yaya Toure back into your team, because a 4.7, no matter who you have up front, that will free up cash to do that. So
yeah,
he's a good kind of, that's kind of going to be the way. So, or else you could be brave and look to get rid of Suarez that's the other option, you know.
Mm. I don't think he's finished just yet. But, I mean, yeah, from a Sunderland point of view, over the double, Wickham for me is the only one.
Mm. Let's move on then. Let's go to West Brom to keep the sort of logic of our path here. West Brom are Sunderland's second opponents. We've spoken about that game as well. We expect Sunderland to go for it big time there. And remember, West Brom are only on 36 points, Sunderland on 32. So West Brom's first game is away to Arsenal. So, basically, this is a short conversation. We're not really bringing in any West Brom players for this game week, despite their two games.
There's one player I think is worth looking at that's been on form over the last couple of weeks and is relatively cheap, and by relatively I actually mean very, at 4.3 million. Amalfitano is probably the best bet to be looking at. He's only got an ownership rate of 2.6%, so certainly for those managers looking for a differential going into the double, he's one to consider. I mean, he has two goals and two assists in his last five games, and two of the goals and one of the assists have come at home. So certainly, you know, you can argue that he does play better at home, and with two home games, there's a chance he may not do it. But it's still, if I was to pin my collar on it, if I was to bring in any West Brom player, he'd be the only one I'd be looking at. Paul?
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, Phil. He wasn't a player who traditionally got goals before he came to the Premier League, but let's not forget, this is the guy who ran from the halfway line through the whole United defence and scored against him earlier in the season when West Brom got that win at Old Trafford. So he has something in the locker.
Okay, let's move on to Hull City, the Manchester United second opponents, and they play Aston Villa in the first game at Villa Park on Saturday. They're two very tough games. I imagine Villa really need points. They're only on 35 points. They've had a disastrous run in the last couple of weeks. They haven't got any points really on the board for a while, so they'll really need to win that game at home to Hull City.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's up top really where I'm looking at Hull. I think probably Shane Long is your best bet at 5.5, and that's more so for the game against Villa. Looking at Villa's stats before we came in today, Villa have actually conceded the third most goals at home this season of any side. They've conceded 28, so there will be some hope for Hull going into this one. However, when you look at Hull's goal scoring record on the road this season, they haven't really overly impressive either. They've scored, I think it's 18 or 19 all season long, which isn't a great amount when you think about the fact that the likes of Liverpool and City and even Spurs have been scoring, you know, considerably more than that away from home. So,
in fairness, though, you have to take into consideration that they had no threat for the first 6 months, and then they got in.
Yeah, well, that of course is a factor, but I just think. Yeah, well, I think Hull on 37 points are probably safe. I can't see them getting dragged into it. I mean, if you look at Norwich, who are on 32 points, even if Norwich win both of their games, which is highly unlikely, you know, they're going to be on 39 points. Fulham, if they win the last two games, they're going to be on 37 points. And then Cardiff, if they win all of their games, are only going to be on 36. So I think you can probably say that Hull are going to be safe. So I think they might... I think they can get something from the Villa game, and I'm probably being a bit biased and writing them off again the game against United, despite the fact that Steve Bruce returns to Old Trafford. But with one eye on the cup final as well, you have to wonder how that's going to play on the players' minds, because obviously this is a big occasion for players. You know, they don't want to be getting injured going into a cup final. They want to make sure they're fit and play. And, you know, I think that is something that is always going to be in the back of the mind over the next week or two.
I wouldn't be jumping on players from that, because realistically, a draw will do both of them.
Yeah,
you know, so on that kind of thing, it could be a poor game, point apiece, and probably would secure a Hull and probably be enough for Villa if they were to get it. You know.
All right, Villa's second game is away to Man City. On the Villa side of things,
I'm not looking at anyone looking from at Villa. No, I've a big X beside Villa here. I mean, just looking, like I said, I was looking at the stats. They've conceded the third highest amount of goals at home this season. At home, they've only managed the 19 goals at home all year, which is the, I think it's the fifth worst record in the league. And then if you look at them away from home, they have actually conceded the seventh fewest amount of goals, which is 25 goals away from home. But when you're going to Man City, who've scored 30 or 57 goals at home, you're in trouble.
Their most informed player?
Most informed player is Grant Holt, is it?
Almost. Paul? Do you want to have a guess?
No, definitely not Brad Guzan after Shelby lobbing him from 50 yards.
Mark Albrighton.
No. You're bang on anyway. And your guess is Holt is on three on the form count. Albrighton is on three as well. But it is Guzan on 3.2. The goalkeeper that is Villa's most form player.
Yeah, listen, there's no
that,
one.
Look at that number, it's three.
I think we're kind of wasting time talking about Villa, really.
Grant,
there's one thing
to call out is they could get a result because they're a team that are geared to do teams in the counter attack and when they have less possession of the ball. So don't be surprised if they actually did pick up a result. But you'd be very difficult to pin many fancy points.
Let's get on to some meat. Manchester City.
Fill your boots.
All right, Manchester City, they play Aston Villa in the second game, and in the first game they are away to Everton. This is a tough game away to Everton.
It's the game of the week. I mean, I think I heard a stat during the week that City have only won one of their last 15 trips to Goodison, which will be a worrying statistic from City's point of view, especially now with the league blown wide open, and certainly they've kind of come back in as front runners. But regardless of the Everton, the fact that they've struggled at Goodison, I still think it's worth having three City players in your lineup. For me, I know you've been a big advocate of him, Andrew, and God help me, I'm going to say it, but Di Michaelis is looking like the most reliable one at the back for them at the moment. He's kind of gone from liability to reliability over the last couple of weeks, and certainly he'll be one worth considering. And at 6 million as well, he's the cheapest defender that's guaranteed to play. I mean, you could get Kolarov or Clichy in, but they rotate a lot, and it's hard to say which one of those two is going to start. So I'll be looking to him. Yeah, I'd be looking to Di Michaelis. I think a clean sheet could be on the cards against Villa in the second game. I know Paul has said Villa are set up to play in the counter, but they're struggling for goals big time. So I think Villa, clean sheet in one of the two. I can see Everton getting a goal maybe at Goodison. And then, Touré in the middle of the park, I think, for all the obvious reasons.
He looks good since he's come back.
Yeah, listen, he's just a quality player. There's no arguing with it, you know. He's got two goals in his last three appearances, and when you consider only one of those three, he played 90 minutes. And an assist to add to that. Obviously, the goal and assist against Palace at the weekend. So he's the obvious choice. Silva's still a doubt going into this one, so I wouldn't be looking too far there. And Nasri, you could argue at 8.7 is a good differential. He picked up an assist against Palace. And he's got two goals in his last five games. So if you were looking for a differential to Yaya, and with an ownership rate of 9.3, maybe Samir Nasri's the man for you. But for me, it's got to be Yaya and then Aguero up front. He is pricey. It's 12.7 million. But you know what you're getting with him. He's got a goal and two assists in his last three games. He's certainly a man who's on form and looking to get back to full match fitness ahead of the World Cup.
Because of the way my own personal set of team worked out, I ended up bringing Aguero back and keeping Dzeko.
So you have both.
So I have both. And I'm thinking of keeping it that way.
Yeah, I can see the logic, especially with the double game week, but I do think the Goodison game is gonna be tricky. I mean, Dzeko did get a goal last week, picked up two bonus points. So, I mean, at 7.1, I think...
They're both ticking over.
But I think certainly if you can't afford both, I mean, looking at it, a lot of teams are going to have Suarez or Rooney. So, I mean, you mightn't be... And if you've Yaya in your midfield along with, you know, maybe you've got Hazard still in there or Mata has come in, you know, you're going to struggle to really afford to bring Aguero in. So, I mean, yeah, Dzeko will be an interesting one to bring in, but he's by no means a differential, really.
No.
He's a 14% ownership at 7.1 million. But yeah, listen, he's ticking away. He's got two goals in his last five appearances. He's got two goals and two assists in his last six appearances. So he's still ticking away there, and certainly one to consider. But I think if I had the money to choose outright, I'd be going Aguero all day long.
He's still missing chances as well. So you'll see him have a lot of chances and curses.
Yeah, that is the problem with Dzeko. He does require a lot of chances to convert.
The advantage for him is he's sitting in front of a midfield that provides him and a striking partner that provide him quite a few.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Listen, I think City will kick on. I fancied them for a good result in both games. I know the record at Goodison, like I said, isn't great, but I just think now that the impetus is with them and they're going to really push on.
All right. Paul, nothing else to add to that treatise on Manchester City?
No, I mean, look, when City won the league, we saw a great performance from Yaya Toure against Newcastle. He obviously came out the traps flying last weekend. He's a fantastic player, great ability, but when things aren't going great, he's a man to turn to. So I think you absolutely need to have him for the next for the rest of the season. And then, yeah, look, it's well summarized there, so I'm happy to move on.
All right, let us move on then. They're all the...
that's the six teams that are playing wins. That are playing twice this week, so I suppose it's best of the rest.
Right, let's start with the early game on Saturday. West Ham and Spurs, London Derby, no love lost, blah, blah, blah. Let's start with the home team.
No.
Okay.
Nothing for West Ham.
Nothing.
I think that this is going to be a pretty quick section, actually. I like it. No West Ham, and I'm not going to invest in Tottenham for the last couple of games.
Okay. Well, I have Eriksen and Kane.
I have Eriksen.
I'm going to keep Eriksen, definitely.
Yes, me too.
Kane, I'm toying with bringing in Wickham instead. So I'll have to see how that plans out. But I mean, if anyone's thinking about bringing in Kane, just to give you an idea of what you're dealing with, he'd 7 shots over the weekend, which is the joint top with Rooney for game week 36. And since he was handed his first start in game week 33, he's produced more shots and efforts in the box than any other striker.
Have you got any on target statistics?
He has a 40% accuracy rating.
Okay.
And he's averaging a shot every 16.8 minutes. They're pretty good stats. And 3 goals in 4 games, I'll tell you that.
Well, that's
you could argue stat. You could argue with the stats that perhaps he should have more. But so I mean, it's difficult for me looking at it to sell him, because I know what the stats are saying. But then again, you look at the double game week, kind of adds to Wickham's kind of potential there. So it is a tricky one. I mean, probably you really want to be looking at West Ham going into this. I think West Ham stats at home, they've conceded the 4th highest amount of goals at home all year of any team, which is surprising when you consider their clean sheet record has been good. Now, that's predominantly been away from home, but West Ham have conceded 26 goals at home this season, which, like I said, puts them in 4th spot overall in the league standards for goals conceded. So there is some hope that, you know, Tottenham, who have managed, I think it's 25-26 goals away from home this season, We'll do quite well. And kind of, again, I'll just put that in perspective. That's the 6th best away goal scoring record of any side in the league. So,
right.
The key thing there is to note is that the West Ham fans have been getting on the management, and I suppose the team's back a bit. There will be none of that this weekend. I'd be surprised, because they'll desperately want to win that game. Maybe at the end of it, if things don't go the way, it'll creep back in. But I mean, as regards fantasy wise, I don't like, okay, take a put in Andy Carroll, but look, with the double, you're not going to bring any of these boys in, really.
All right. Next up, we're going to go to a place. I know Phil's done a lot of research on this recently. We're going to go up north of Newcastle. Newcastle home to Cardiff City.
Yeah, there's nothing in this game for me. Newcastle were...
Good time.
Yeah, I would say Newcastle were average on Monday night against Arsenal, but that'd be unfair on the average teams. They were very, very poor.
Another shocking Monday night display from Newcastle.
God, yeah.
I've seen that a few times.
They were absolutely rubbish.
On the holidays.
I don't know what they're on. They're not on enough of it, because there just seems to be no spirit and there's no fight. It's
Krul, apparently. I saw him being linked with a couple of big clubs. Tim Krul looking for.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see. I wouldn't be surprised to see an exodus from St James's Park this summer. Although I do hear rumours that the French influx has ended and they're actually looking elsewhere now to bring in players during the summer. So we'll see how that works out. That's assuming Alan Pardew was still there.
Well, as they say, Newcastle, bonne chance.
But now there's nothing in this game for me on the Newcastle side or the Cardiff side. Cardiff are down and out. You know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer keeps telling me the lads have great spirit, they just don't have great footballing abilities.
Stick to the vodka.
Yeah.
They could still get out of it, but highly unlikely.
Let's keep going. I'm gonna ask you something, so we're not going near any of that. Stoke City Fulham, it is going to be a short section, Paul said, right?
Yeah, there's nothing in this one for me either.
Well, I mean, there might be. Paul, can you see anything in Stoke? I know you've seen a little bit of them this season. Is there anything in their revival that says there's points in this game against the team second from bottom?
I reckon the team second from bottom will get a win. Stoke will try to play their expansive football. They're going to try get their highest points total in the Premier League in their history, which they're not far off. But I just think Fulham, they've got that heart now, and that's where I'd be going. And look, yeah, we saw Jagger come on, and he did well, so hopefully he keeps his place. But
Jagger 4.9.
Yeah, he's kind of been there. He's always on the radar. He pops up with goals every so often. So, well, apart apart from that, there's not a whole lot to be shouting about. You can make the arguments in cases for Odier, but as we said, you're not going to go there this week.
No, you're not. Right, let's keep going. Swansea, Southampton.
Wilfred Bonny is probably the only one really again worth looking at there. He's been on a good run of form of late. He's been getting goals. I kind of wrote him off a bit last week because most of his goals had come away from home, but yet he still managed to get on the score sheet at home last weekend.
Twice.
Yeah. So there's no arguing with that. And probably worth pointing out as well that for those still hanging on to Adam Lallana, he's only had 2 shots on target in his last 4 appearances and he's failed to produce a goal or assist. If you still have a hold of him, you should get rid of him and get rid of him now.
But John Joe Shelby had a fine game with last week.
Cracking goal.
Yeah. Two assists as well.
Yeah, but again, the double kind of dominates. Yeah,
it does.
You can't really make a valid argument to bring any of those in. No. Boney maybe because he is on very good form, but that's it.
All right, a couple of games left to come in this preview, and they're 2 big ones. Chelsea and Norwich. We're not bringing in any Norwich players, are we? No.
No. At Chelsea, I think you can look to Chelsea this week. I think a clean sheet against the Norwich side that have only managed 11 goals away from home all season, so I'll probably have a look. Aspilicueta is probably the best bet there. Interesting to note that despite being out for the season with a dislocated shoulder, Petacek is back training. Good man Jose, lying to us again. Now, he won't start against Atletico tonight, but there's a good chance he could be fit for the weekend's clash. But if he's not, I think Mark Schwarzer is an absolute bargain.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, he is. 4.5 for Schwarzer. Yeah.
And then Hazard is back training as well. He's also fit. Whether he'll feature against Atletico, we don't know yet. Mourinho kind of came out and said he is fit, but you know, I'll have to wait and see whether he starts or not. But I think regardless whether he starts or not against Atletico, we'll see him the weekend. So anyone who held on to him will be happy to see him back. And I wouldn't be bringing him in, but if I had him, I'd certainly be playing him.
If they win, you might not see him. They might keep him back for the final.
So. Possibly so, yeah. I mean, if I was to bring in any Chelsea midfielder, I'd be bringing in Willian. At this point, he's in some good form. We know he got a tap in against Liverpool, which kind of, yeah, it was handy enough, you know. McGranny'll score that.
He still got up there.
The biggest worry I have is that he only played 31 minutes against Liverpool, but I think that was down to the way Jose set out his team to frustrate Liverpool and slow everything down. So I expect him to start against Norwich, and he'd be one to have a look at. And he is somewhat of a differential. Well, he's an extreme differential. He's only got an ownership rate of 0.5%, and he's 7.5 million. So for me, despite the fact they don't play twice, he'd be one of the big ones I'd be tipping this week against Norwich, who have been very, very poor.
Mm. All right, let's move on to the last game, but it is quite a important game because Liverpool are travelling to Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace first, Paul?
I play punching. I mean, look, Liverpool have conceded a rake load of goals this season. They've not scored a lot. It'll be very interesting to see what Liverpool team shows up because they'll be obviously a little bit afraid, a little bit upset from their setback last week, but they still have a great chance to go on and win the league. So, with that in mind, Tony Pulis, obviously one of the most informed teams in the league with Crystal Palace. And the one thing we can be sure is it's probably going to be goals, even though Liverpool should play tighter defensively, they probably won't. So I'll play punching. As regards Liverpool side of things, I'm toying with getting rid of Suarez. I'm not too sure whether there's much value in keeping him or not. And I mean, make it that you'll play your Liverpool players that you have. But and then I suppose if you're maybe you might tip Liverpool for a clean sheet, but they don't get clean sheets, so I wouldn't be. I probably will be Flanagan on the bench this week.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, on the clean sheet side of things, I think there is a good chance, and I know we've kind of tipped Liverpool for clean sheets before and it hasn't quite happened, and Palace have been playing well and they're trying to push on up, but I think, you know, given the fact that Palace have only managed 15 goals at home, which is the worst record in the league this season.
They only get one goal if they do score.
Exactly, they never go on a route. And Liverpool have managed 45 goals away from home this season, which is the best record in the league. I'm going to hold on to Suarez, certainly for this one, because of the way the stats are running. And Suarez, after picking up his PFA award, I'm backing him to do well. But, listen, if I have Flanagan.
Goals against Leicester, lower teams.
Yeah, well, I have Flanagan. I'm gonna continue to play him just in the off chance I do pick up a clean sheet, and I'll play Suarez. But I wouldn't be rushing out to bring in many Liverpool players.
Interesting stuff. What about Sterling? He's been in cracking form as well, just to give him a mention.
Yeah, listen, if you have him, play him. But again, I wouldn't be rushing out.
No.
You know, and then we missed out one team.
We missed out Arsenal and West Brom, of course. Yeah. Yeah, we never went back to Arsenal. Arsenal after a cracking performance against Newcastle. Or was it just them?
A bit from column A and a bit from column B.
Yeah, all right.
Whoever this column person is. Yeah, I think Arsenal for a clean sheet in this one. I think you can have a look. I think if you have an Arsenal defender, I'd certainly be playing them. I probably wouldn't be rushing out to bring one in, but I'd fancy them for it. And then there's a big kind of debate. Ramsey didn't do a whole lot against Newcastle. He probably had one or two chances. Half chances he might have put away. And then Ozil was back with a goal and an assist. So.
But Giroud's still good value at 8.5 if you fancy him.
Yeah, and I think he could do well towards the end of the season. But I mean, if you wanted to bring in Arsenal players, I think you have a decision to make. I think Giroud could be one to bring in.
What do you mean towards the end of the season?
But this is for the last two games of the season.
This is the penultimo. El penultimo. Say it with me. El penultimo.
No.
Paul, you getting excited about the season finishing?
I can't wait. Can't wait for the World Cup, yeah.
Yeah, see? Get to watch more football. Hey. Right.
So I mean, there's a decision to make whether you think Ozil's going to do it over the last two game weeks and maybe drop out Ramsey instead, and then Giroud, if you fancy him to continue, was another one. But I think a clean sheet against West Brom. I know West Brom are still in the mix, but
players, if you have them, not to be buying in.
Yeah, well, listen, Arsenal have 10 clean sheets at home this season, which is the best record of any home side. So that kind of tells you what you need to know.
Monreal, if he continues to get a start, is good value at 4.7.
Yeah. Certainly, if you wanted a cheap one to bring in, he could be one more.
I wasn't going to share that, but I thought, to hell with it.
That's what we're here for.
Throw it out there.
This relationship has to work both ways, you know. Can't just be constantly give.
Well, take. All right, that was your full best of the rest. Next up, it's your second last, or your penultimate, Captain's Picks. Right, where should we double our points to? I think there's a few clear indicators myself.
Yeah.
We're going to Manchester United.
Yeah.
And it's either Rooney or Mata.
It's Rooney, because I'm not sure Mata's going to start if Van Persie's fit. So Rooney for me is probably the outstanding captain of the week. Two home games for United against Sunderland and Hull. And it's Waza all the way. If I had to go for a second choice after that, it's Yaya Toure. And third spot would probably go to... Actually, no, I wouldn't. That'd be it. Yeah, or Rooney, really. It's got to be the game week player, especially if you're trying to make good points in your league.
Paul?
Look, it's Rooney all day for me. He's got the captain's armband from last week, and he'll continue with it this week. If you are chasing and you want to take a punt, everyone's going to pick Rooney, so hope he doesn't do anything and throw the armband on Connor Wickham.
I was just going to say Connor Wickham would be the outside shout out, right? I think there was one or two people decided to gamble on that last week, looking to make up some ground, and it paid. Yeah, it paid some pretty good dividends, so... If you're feeling brave enough, that might be the shout indeed. But for me, it's Rooney followed by Yaya.
Okay. I think Mata might sneak in there. And I also think Aguero or Dzeko, probably Aguero, might, just to give you another option.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have Yaya and you were... Listen, I think...
Well, see, we're all looking... I mean, Rooney is the obvious one. So, we're probably all going to captain Rooney, but we're just trying to give... people different
if
options.
If you don't have Rooney, we can't just base this on what we own.
He might get injured in the first game after 20 minutes.
Listen,
we don't know. This is football. You know? And then the people who are brave and said, no, I'm going to captain Aguero or Yaya, they might be the winners.
Yeah, Paul's right. That did happen to Yaya a couple of weeks ago.
There you have it.
Them's the breaks.
Them's the captain's picks. Just time to Phil.
Hi.
Time to what? What are we going to do?
Well, so you were away, so you probably mightn't have picked up on this one. We were running a competition to give away a free copy of FPL Strategies ebook, How to Win Your Mini League. So we said we'd give away a copy.
How were we now?
We were. I said we'd give away a copy to anyone who was listening to the podcast, and just so we knew it was definite listeners to the podcast, we'd get them to leave a rating or review on iTunes for us, and we'd pick one at random. Now, we were supposed to do this last week, but we'd some technical difficulties getting onto iTunes to get the review. And we
have... Well, can I just say before we hear the listener, what a wonderful idea. Well done in my absence.
Thank you.
All right. So how do we get on? Good response?
Yeah, listen, you know, people like the podcast. We're very pleased. And anyone who does appreciate what we do, we always love a rating or a review. So feel free to pop on over to iTunes and give us one of those.
If you want us back next season, throw a review on it. Simple as that.
There you go.
Are we trending the pod listeners, Paul?
Or else the bunny gets it.
Or else the bunny gets it.
But we picked out a winner at random, and that was Daniel Lenihan. So, Daniel, if you're listening, get in touch, and we'll make sure you get that copy of the book, and congratulations.
All right, well done, Daniel. And also, the latest and last-minute news of the second-last game week of the season will be available on fantasypremierleaguetransfers.com. On a wonderful website, and all the Friday team news and the last minute gossip and warm-up injury news, you can hear all that there, and a brilliant service on Saturday morning on the Twitter machine, as you well know by now. Paul Caffrey is the man who has the honour of doing the penultimate live time, hashtag live time, in the Twitter machine from 10:30, close at 11:30. Are you excited about that, Paul?
Hashtag buzzing, hashtag awesome, hashtag second week in a row.
That's it.
It was very good last week, actually. A lot of great questions, a lot of stuff going on. So looking forward to having more banter and getting through it this week again.
Yeah, I missed it last week, unfortunately, and I'm afraid I'm going to miss it again this week. I will be heading over to make sure Andrew's work with Alan Pardew was continuing. So I'll be in Newcastle at the weekend, checking all that out. So
very good.
Not going to go to that damn squib of a game on Saturday afternoon, no.
I might tip on down to James's Park. I haven't decided yet. We'll see.
They probably won't let you in because you're intoxicated. Don't lie.
Yeah, intoxicated on football.
Indeed. You can't get enough sports. That was game week 37's pod. Getting excited about the last one, you know.
One more to go.
That's it. Get it all on. That's all I say. Game week 37. That's it. We'll see you next week. Good luck, Paul.
You better, guys. Take it easy.
And remember, no one remembers who came second, so put it all out there.